Good morning. It is 9:04 on WPRK, Winter Park, Florida. The best in basement radio. This is the Sandspur Hour, your chance to hear about goings-on on Rollins campus and around the community. I am your host, Greg Golden.
And I am your co-host, Amir Sadeh.
And for the next hour, we have news on the faculty's vote of no confidence on President Duncan. We also have an update on where you can find out more about the InterVarsity issue.
Issue, that's a good term.
And we'll talk about this time capsule that's getting put together. Was it just put underground?
It was just put underground on Friday, well, a few days ago.
We're probably at the same sea level as it, right?
I would believe so.
Yeah. Horizontal. We're in the basement, remember?
Heck yeah.
And then we'll talk about this concert that's coming up.
Concerts?
Yes. On on Rollins campus.
Oh my. Oh geez.
Yes.
What's that? Ooh, I can't wait to hear more about that.
It's called Fox Fest.
Fox Fest!
Yep. So right now we will get into my conversation with Dr. Dexter Boniface, who will have a few things to say about the president and why the faculty decided to issue their vote of no confidence.
On March 21st, the faculty of the School of Arts and Sciences passed a resolution of no confidence in President Duncan, the first time one has been passed in Rollins history. I'm joined by Dr. Dexter Boniface, Associate Professor of Political Science, Weddle Chair of the Americas, Director of Latin American and Caribbean Studies, and Vice President of the faculty. What brought about this vote?
Well, there is a longer-term context, and then there are some of the more immediate precipitating causes. But I think the broader context that brought about this vote is a frustration on the part of arts and sciences faculty with the president over several years now. And so this was not a vote that was based on events that are specific to the spring semester right now, but in fact go back 4 years, 2 years, 2 months, whatever it is, have been building up for a considerable time. I think the first time that we saw in the big scheme of things, the complaints that the ANS have with the president relate basically to a lack of communication, a sense that the president doesn't consult with the faculty when making very significant decisions that affect the college and affect us as the Faculty of Arts and Sciences, and also a belief that the president has not always followed the process that is dictated in the bylaws. And the first time that this really became a serious issue was 2 years ago when the College of Professional Studies was created and the Faculty of Arts and Sciences was effectively splintered into these two separate colleges. It was felt then that the way in which that decision was made was not in keeping with the bylaws of the college, that there was not a real consultation with the affected parties, and certainly not a consultation with the vast majority of the arts and science faculty. So that was the major incident that I think really soured the relationship between the faculty and the president, was the sense that he was making significant decisions that affected the college and affected the core mission of the liberal arts without consulting the core constituency at the college, which is the arts and sciences faculty. At that time, and this gets into another question that's been raised about this, there was a censure of the president, and he was censured. He is a member of the Arts and Sciences faculty as president, and he was censured as one of us for not following the bylaws. I should say that before that, there had already been some tension that resulted from a survey that the faculty had pressed to have a mechanism in place whereby we could assess and offer feedback of the administration. And, for example, we went through a fairly rigorous evaluation of the dean of students and at that time the dean of the faculty, which would now is two deans, the dean of ANS and dean of CPS. However, there was resistance both at the provost level and particularly at the presidential level to the type of process that had been set up to have an evaluation. And furthermore, after there was a sort of an evaluation that was finally conducted after some back and forth, we felt that the president didn't really give a serious account of some of our feedback and suggestions for how he could improve the faculty administration relationship. So you had some of these, those are some of these issues that have been boiling in the background in the past 3 or 4 years. It's also true then that this spring there have been some additional factors that I think move the faculty to just decide that a stronger statement of our disapproval was needed. And this refers in part to some recent initiatives to develop a business major at the campus. But I will stress that that is, it's not the main reason that this vote was called, but rather it's indicative of the way we believe the president has not consulted with faculty, and the way in which this a proposal for a new business major, which would be distinct from international business and which some of us fear would be lacking in the liberal arts component that the international business program did have through its emphasis on foreign language, cultural and area studies. We fear that this new program might not have those features, but more than that, that the way in which it appeared that this program was going to be implemented was once again one that didn't seem to follow the bylaws, and specifically the fact that the faculty of Rollins have control of the curriculum. And it appeared to us on the executive committee of the ANS faculty that this program was not being directed by the faculty, but rather by the administration, if not even it being imposed on the faculty without their consent. When in fact it appeared that most of the relevant faculty didn't support this new business major being created from their out of the College of Professional Studies, specifically in the International Business Department. Frankly, that's an issue that you should be interviewing someone in the other college for. For us, it speaks to this larger issue that we feel like we don't have influence over the creation of new programs, creation of a new college, and many other decisions that take place at Rollins. We have a president who doesn't attend faculty meetings, doesn't attend meetings of the executive council, does not appear to have a rapport with the faculty, does not win over the faculty to his vision of the future, and these frustrations are just boiled over to the point that we wanted to make our opinion known in a more forceful way than maybe we did 2 years ago with the censure vote.
What do the faculty who voted the affirmative for no confidence hope is accomplished?
I think, this is one of those issues where we have to be clear a little bit about what this means. And I will say, when we made the censure vote 2 years ago, I think there was there was a tremendous amount of frustration. I mean, a great deal of frustration, and much was lost, I think, in terms of the morale of the arts and sciences faculty as a result of that. Much was lost in terms of the rapport with the president, and the faculty administrative relations have really soured. But we made the option of a censure vote, which is a fairly quiet sort of piece of faculty governance. It wasn't meant to draw attention. It was meant to express a sort of dissent. There was a hope, maybe, that things could get better. And I think here we are 2 years later. We do not feel like things have gotten better. We feel, in fact, things are getting worse. In recent surveys that have been done by the Chronicle, which surveys whether Rollins is a great college to work for, we see that the faculty surveyed believe that it's shared governance, senior leadership, the faculty administrative and staff relations, communication, that in all these areas that we are less of a great college to work for in the past 2 years. We have regressed in these categories in the past 2 years. So we have not, after that big rupture 2 years ago, we haven't seen, we haven't recovered from it. And I think people in the arts and sciences feel that things, in fact, are not only they're not getting better, but we're continuing to get worse. So hence the stronger vote of a no confidence. Ultimately, a vote of no confidence is just that. It is our statement that we don't have the confidence that President Duncan can lead this institution in the direction we believe it should be going. We don't believe he has the support of the faculty in the initiatives that he brings to the table, and that he is an effective leader in that sense. We cannot fire the president. I think I've seen some commentary from students, for example, that suggests this is somehow going to lead to President Duncan's immediate dismissal. I think a statement of no confidence suggests that ultimately it is the desire of the faculty that President Duncan's contract not be renewed. And the vote was pretty strong, 67-10. So it wasn't a close vote. I think those that have voted in affirmative, what they hope to accomplish is to bring pressure on the Board of Trustees to not renew President Duncan's contract. Frankly, it's a vote stating that we want different leadership. And it's a pressure point that we have. It's us giving voice to this concern. And at the time, at this present moment, our primary audience is the board. They are the ones that control this contract. We are not interested in doing damage to the Rollins as an institution. On the contrary, I think we believe it's our responsibility to stand up for the principles that we're defending, commitment to liberal arts education, a commitment to faculty control of the curriculum, a commitment to following the governance bylaws. And so that's why we've taken this vote, where it's not it shouldn't be understood in other terms.
This vote occurred a day before reunion weekend invited alumni of the college back to campus. Was there any thought to the timing that did occur?
There was a discussion about the timing, and I would stress that in my interpretation of the conversation that we had, that this decision was completely unrelated to the timing of Alumni Weekend. However, there were some that said that this would either be an opportune time or an inopportune time. So there were certainly voices that said now is not the moment for this, and others that said now is precisely the moment for this. I can't know what everyone was thinking, but I believe that the overwhelming sentiment was that this was simply the time, because of the frustrations had just reached a level that faculty wanted to act on. And it was entirely coincidental in that respect that it occurred during this alumni reunion weekend. It's not our intention at all to dampen the spirit of this weekend, and it wasn't meant to politicize the alumni weekend at all. I'll leave it at that.
All right, Dr. Boniface, thank you for your time.
All right.
And so, in summation, the faculty felt like the bylaws of the college were not upheld in the president's decision-making in terms of communicating with faculty on some of these bigger issues. And the direction of the college as a whole has been a point of contention that the faculty have with the president.
Yeah, it seems like there are a lot of issues that have been going on for the last few years, not just recently, and really just comes down to the Board of Trustees. It really comes down to what they believe is the next appropriate form of action. And I guess that we'll go from there, and we'll see. It's obviously still developing, ongoing story, and we'll let you know as soon as we know what'll happen.
That's right. And even though they cannot, the faculty, that is, cannot fire the president, articles from the Chronicle of Higher Education, one in particular is headlined, How to Fire a President, Voting No Confidence with Confidence. So it's sort of telling to the sort of impact that this vote has, and some of the more telling aspects of it, the fact that it was 67 to 10 was the voting line.
If you do the math, that's 87%. That's an 87% vote in one direction. That's pretty strong.
Amir here did the math.
Quick math.
Yes.
You know, I try.
It's quick like that. And it is more about the president's decision-making, as Dr. Boniface stated, but also the decision-making to create the College of Professional Studies and the efforts that have been put in place to start a business major that many feel would be against the sort of liberal arts values mm-hmm. that the college holds as principal to the type of education that they offer, are really going against the president in terms of what the faculty desires the college to really strive for. And even Eddie Huang, author who visited the campus last week, who had some irreverent things to say on a number of topics, but one that eerily precipitated this vote was his saying, and this is paraphrasing, the president is trying to turn the school into the University of Phoenix. And while no one is going to say that that's necessarily true, that this is all of a sudden going to become some kind of degree mill, really when you have these tenets of liberal arts, you know, that's really the purpose of the sort of education in terms of its scope and the sort of different...
It's a niche. Why mess with the niche?
Right.
That's what makes us special. I don't know. Maybe that's me.
And then historically, there was nearly a vote of no confidence for President Warren in 1951, and this was an issue that was even covered by the New York Times about our fair school. And President Warren had dismissed, fired, 20 faculty members who were tenured over what he claimed were economic issues. And there was such an uproar that he eventually was fired by the Board of Trustees, and all of those faculty members were reinstated. And that brought upon his successor, President Hugh McCain, who is...
The namesake.
Still, right, of McKean Hall, and a beloved president. He brought Fox Day back.
Fox Day!
So, of course, he's a popular guy in Rollins history. But interesting the way that these sort of moves are made. And while this does not mean that the president will be fired, this is the first time it's happened in Rollins history. I mentioned that the vote of no confidence was discussed for President Warren, but
the motion was tabled at the faculty meeting where it should have occurred, and then the sort of actions and repercussions still resulted.
So we are witnessing history, folks. Rollins College history.
Yes.
And with that, we're going to go into our first musical break with Duran Duran's Hungry Like the Wolf. And we are back, folks. We are back. So the next story that we have to talk about is also another controversial issue that has kind of been brought up. It's been around for the last few months, actually, but it's really kind of gotten headway this last week, and it is the InterVarsity controversy. If you don't know, InterVarsity was a Christian organization on Rollins College campus that last semester lost its affiliation through the college. The reason stated by the college was that the practices of InterVarsity, specifically not allowing one of its members to hold a leadership position, went against the anti-discrimination policy. Their claim is that the person was not Christian, and they felt that they had the right as a Christian organization to be in charge of what type of leadership they were allowed to hold. The person in question is gay. So that was kind of the contention between both sides, and so far the college has still upheld their decision, and InterVarsity is still unrecognized and with the college and not allowed to meet on Rollins College campus space. This was definitely a big issue mentioned, and actually we wrote about it. We had both people involved, Zachary Baldwin, Grace Losher, write articles in the Sanspur last week.
Which were each from their point of view.
Each from their point of view, and mm-hmm. it ended up turning out really well. There was a really big response, mm-hmm. and just people were really interested to see kind of what had been going on, because if you had read the news media, if you'd checked like the Sentinel and a few other papers, and even the Jim Baker show covered it, it was very much about Rollins supposedly being anti-Christian, and their claim was like, why can't we have Christian, why shouldn't Christian organizations be allowed to have Christian leaders? And it was very much not the issue. There was definitely more to it than that. I think that was the important thing that these articles stressed, and that information was stressed. So it's very interesting to kind of see the developments, because this isn't something that just happened last week or last month. This is something that happened roughly 6 months ago. It happened last semester. So, still though, both sides have very important viewpoints and both understandable arguments for their position. So one of the important things also to know is tonight in the Galloway room from 5 to 6:30, our Amnesty International is holding a diversity dialogue, an open forum moderated by Dr. Daniel Chong to discuss on-campus faith rights. Reading off the event information from Facebook, everyone is allowed to provide input. The point of the discussion is to clarify the events that led to InterVarsity's non-recognition and to allow people to respectfully air their opinions and interpretation of events with the goal of mutual understanding. We also hope to raise a fruitful academic discussion about the appropriate balance between religious freedom and non-discrimination and the role of a private college in this balance. So definitely, if you are interested in this topic, if you thought the articles were interesting and engaging, and if you want to not only learn more but also learn from the point of people who are actually in the heat of this, I would this is where you would want to go, and this is definitely something you would definitely want to check out.
Right, and those articles are still on newspaper racks around campus. There's a cover that features a passage from
Corinthians.
And
love is bold, love is blind. It's not
close.
I can't
remember. Love is patient, love is kind at all. So
sorry.
Really creative cover design by the Sansper staff, and not only those two articles from the positions of both sides of the issue, but an article that lays out all of the facts of what has gone on. And so that is available on campus as well as on the sanspur.org. You'll be able to find those. And hopefully the talk tonight will allow everyone to really see what the truth is as well in this really complicated issue.
Exactly. And I mean, it's definitely not not cut and dry, and that's the point of it. It's always with any type of issue, it's never cut and dry, so it'll be very interesting to see what happens. And we have the moderator is an amazing individual, you know, Professor Chong, very versed on human rights, and he's very versed on this issue and topic, and I think it'll be very interesting discussion.
Great. And as we move on to our next segment, we will start by playing The Killers' Losing Touch. As we mentioned earlier, this past weekend was alumni reunion weekend.
Oh, snap, alumni.
Yep. Lots of alums.
Reminiscences. Going down that memory lane /
yep. Strolling down there.
Life, yeah.
Yep.
All that jazz.
Yeah, so there was different events to walk around campus. There was
Parties.
And
Rip shows. Dedicated to alumni.
That's right. Very dedicated to alumni.
All I'm saying is those alumni remember certain aspects about their past. Uh-huh. I can't. You guys can't see the motion I'm making, but it's has to do with an interesting herb we talked about last week.
Yeah. And there were different opportunities for students to mingle with the alumni, backpacks to briefcases, got people talking about how to get jobs and all that. And overall, you know, it's a chance for people to come back and
just talk about the sights.
Remember those times. And speaking of remembering those times, They buried a time capsule on Friday.
No, you're joking.
I joke you not.
Oh, snap. So time capsule. So, Greg, explain to me a little bit about this time capsule. What is going on?
This was sort of a unique time capsule in that they did not only bury items and artifacts.
Snap.
But also.
Also what?
Video.
Definitely not something you could have done back in the day.
Nope.
This is a new thing.
Yep, new as of about 1920 or so. Nah, before then.
I mean, like digital video. That's what I was getting at. I mean,
okay.
I'm not saying in a hand crank, like a hand crank video. Like,
right.
I mean, we have sound and color, and we can put it on a USB. Thanks, Greg. I'm gonna walk out the studio.
If there's like an apocalypse or something, or like aliens find it, do you think they'd have a harder time, like, figuring out what an SD card does, or like if they had a reel of film? What do you think would be easier?
I think that they would think the reel of film looks like a fruit roll-up, and they would, I don't know, try and eat it. I don't know. I don't know. These are advanced life forms, Greg. I would hope to God that they know what a USB looks like and would know, okay, this is you plug it into the mainstay of the mainframe of the space shuttle.
Well, I also said it could have been after an apocalypse.
Anyway,
so we're talking about humans.
We're talking about humans.
After, you know, some global catastrophe.
Well, we have much more bigger problems than wondering somebody's interview at Rollins College about how their life was as a freshman. There's just a little bit more problems if there's an apocalypse going on. I don't know. Maybe that's just me. I'm sorry.
Well, at any rate, over the past couple of years, people of Rollins have been interviewed for this time capsule. It's being called the Living Time Capsule.
Cool.
Which sort of sounds like burying someone alive.
A little bit. It's a little disconcerting, but I'm glad nobody is being buried alive.
Right. It will be removed 25 years from now.
Oh, snap.
And will be opened every 25 years on Founders Day.
Founders Day.
Which I'm guessing was the day that they buried it.
Or the day the college was founded?
which I'm guessing was the day that they buried it.
Oh.
I'm not saying that the day that they buried it is now Founders Day.
Okay, I didn't.
I'm just saying.
Well, yes, that would make a tad bit more sense. Touche. Well, that brings up an interesting question, Greg.
Yeah, which one?
What would you put in a time capsule?
Ooh, good question.
Yeah.
I would put in a time capsule, are we talking about, like, personal or, like,
I mean, whatever. I mean,
national?
Something that
social,
you...
Social, political, economic?
Here's what I would say. I'll limit it to. I will limit it to something that you felt was indicative of your time and or something you felt personal about and want greater posterity to have and to understand.
Okay. Well, I would probably put in a newspaper then, for one part.
Really, Greg?
Yeah, I'm going there.
Okay.
For a couple reasons.
Okay, go for it. Defend yourself.
I'm really interested in the way in which the English language changes.
Okay.
I'm interested in the way in which journalistic writing changes.
Okay.
You know, you have news websites which are now going towards really, like, personal anecdotes and jokes in news stories.
Ta-da-tsh.
You know?
Yeah, no, I
So I want to know if that translates to print, if print will still be around.
If print will still be... That's a question.
So those. Another one is to see some of my own work that has been published in a Sansbury or two.
And back in the day.
And, you know, to be able to look upon that and wonder why I put that comma in that place or whatever. Because that's always a thought when you look at an old piece of writing.
The Oxford comma, of course.
Of course. Should be standard. And then, you know, just for the nostalgia factor, having something that I'm familiar with and can look back on with some reminiscing nostalgia at times, you know?
Very cool. Okay. You've defended your point, your choice successfully.
Yes. Did I get honors?
You got honors. You got one gold star.
Yes. Out of?
Three.
Okay.
So it's all right. It's all right.
All right, all right.
You got one out of three. Don't worry. There's extra credit. There'll be extra credit later on in the day.
Okay.
We'll figure it out.
So what's your time capsule-able
item? Mine is actually interesting. It's somewhat stereotypical to who I am. I would actually probably leave a bunch of 80 CDs / Phil Collins. And hear me out. I understand that it's not indicative of the century or of this decade particularly.
Or the time you were alive.
Or the time I was alive. The reason why I want to put it in there, just because I want people to realize, I want good music preserved. And B, I also want people to understand that, yes, even in the year 2010, in the 2010s, if you will, people still listen to Phil Collins.
They do.
He was still in his heart, and he was in my heart, and it was all wonderful.
Yeah.
So, yes, I would put some of my classic soft rock into the time capsule so that people can just understand the joy and the wonder that was glam bands, big hair, and just rockin' soulful ballads.
Rockin' soulful ballads, or RSBs.
Heck yeah.
Yes. So, when did you start listening to these jams?
When I started listening to these jams? When I was a young lass.
Yes.
When I was a young man back when I was about...
I think lad.
Lad. Lass is a woman.
Yep.
That is a thing. No, when I was a youngin', when I was about, 10, 11 years old, my first song that I ever heard that I knew I wanted to... When you first listen to music, there's that defining moment where there's a difference between just the music you would hear on the radio and then you actually loving an artist.
Right.
And that was Invisible Touch by Genesis. That was the first song I'm like, I like this. I want to know more about this group. And then it ended up being, I want to know more about this lead singer.
Yeah.
Obviously Phil Collins. So, yeah, that was my thing. That was my shtick. And then from then on, I was like, I was hooked. 80s became my decade. Obviously, I enjoy a fair good amount of 90s myself as well.
Uh-huh.
You know, but definitely that 98.9 does a lot for me. WMMO, I like that.
Yeah, that's okay. So, going on from there, I think do we have another song?
Do we have another song? Yeah, I will. Let's see what we do, because I'm thinking that
we're falling apart.
Speaking of time, we play some Enya.
Okay.
Only Time.
Let's hear that now. And we're back. And for our final segment, I'm going to talk a little bit about a concert upcoming.
Concerts?
To the Winter Park Rollins area.
I don't know if these people would like to hear about music, Greg.
It's called Foxfest.
Foxfest!
Yes.
Sorry. I like it. Foxfest.
It'll be April 13th, which is a Saturday.
Saturday.
Right.
On the lawn.
Uh-huh.
It's definitely not the 4th of July.
That's right. April 13th.
April 13th.
From 1 to 10 p.m.
Exactly.
We just wrapped up Campus Media Days.
Days.
Promote it. Days. D-A-Z-E.
D-A-Z-E.
Of what our lives.
The best days of our lives.
Right.
Summer 69. Not Summer 69, but still.
Right. So we got some bands that are playing there.
Some bands. Greg, come on. Give me the bands. Give me the deets.
Girls on the Beach.
Girls on the Beach. Well.
Saskatchewan.
Saskatchewan. Wow.
You know where they're from?
I'm guessing Canada.
Orlando.
Lies. Lies.
Nope. That is true. Groove Orient. Guess where they're from.
I don't even want to guess. Where are they from?
I think Orlando. I'm not for sure, though.
Okay.
I was trying to look it up, but I couldn't find them. Levesque.
Levesque. Interesting.
Jacuzzi Boys.
Jacuzzi Boys should meet up with the girls at the beach.
Yeah, perfect.
Right?
After going to the beach.
Nice.
Wrap it up with some jacuzzi.
Heck yeah.
That's my day. Every day.
Every day. That's Greg Golden's every day.
Headliner.
Well, they better be headliner.
No. Upcoming. I'm about to say it.
Oh, upcoming.
I'm about to say it.
Oh, okay. I thought the band's name was headliner.
No.
I'm like, wow.
I thought that the band's name was upcoming.
I was getting confused because I first thought it was a headliner and then like, no, upcoming. I'm like, Craig, these names are very advantageous. They're
avant-garde.
Avant-garde.
Yes.
But who is plug, our, who's the headliner?
The
yes.
it's Bright Light Social Hour.
Bright Light Social Hour. Heck
yes.
Yeah.
Yes. There's a lot of excitement about them.
No, yeah, for sure.
Yes. They're headlining.
Well, let's hope. Let's hope. Let's hope there's a lot of expectation.
Yeah, so we're coming up with some promos for that.
Really?
Posters.
Promos and posters. Come on, guys. Who doesn't like promos?
T-shirts.
T-shirts. Those Fox Day t-shirts were bust for sophomores, juniors, and seniors. They didn't get Fox Day shirts.
What are you talking about?
Yeah, you didn't know that?
What are you talking about?
Fox Day shirts, there aren't any Fox, I guess they decided not to order Fox Day shirts for sophomores, juniors, and seniors, and those Fox Day shirts you see are for freshmen.
For freshmen.
Yeah, they're for the Office of Student Success. So yeah, so if you want a t-shirt.
That has the word Fox on it.
That has Fox on it.
And probably will have a Fox on it.
Foxfest t-shirts, guys, come on, that's where it's at. That is where it's at, guys.
Weird. Weird, wild stuff over here I'm hearing.
Yeah, times are a-changing, Greg. Times are a-changing.
Huh. Yeah, because I saw it. It's, like, made out of fox
tails.
It's, like,
fur, yeah, but no.
It's fur all over it.
It's fur all over, and yet not for any upperclassmen.
Not fur any of
not
them.
Not fur. You're punny. Funny. But, yes, Foxfest, guys. Last year's big concert on the lawn through WPRK was huge, amazing, amazing turnout, and now the Sanspers getting involved, helping in sponsoring as well, and
yep.
I mean, definitely put this on your calendar.
Yeah, it'll be a time to kick back,
chillax,
enjoy some tunes. It'll be a little primer for finals.
I mean, yeah, it'll be something to look forward to.
Yes.
Something to look forward to. Just kick back, relax, listen to some Jacuzzi Boys, Girls on the Beach.
It'll
and not
just
a band name headliner, mind you.
No, or upcoming.
Or upcoming. But the wonderful
Bright Light Social Hour.
Bright Light Social Hour.
Yep. What else we got?
What else do we got? We got a few more minutes before we sign out.
Right, I know that's what we got.
Oh, well, I didn't know that's what you didn't know. I just wanted to emphasize that,
Let's do some plugs.
Let's do some plugs.
Let's plug Sanspur.org.
Sanspur.org, which, guys, you know, I understand paper's tough. Paper cuts, straining
paper
vision,
jams.
Paper jams, just issues with paper in general, and just so very hard to find. It's clunky.
Uh-huh.
Why would you want to look at such a big, voluminous thing?
You have to hold it in your hand.
You have to hold it in your hand. That's the thing. That's an issue. Why use both hands to hold information
right.
when you can just look at it on your iPhone or your cell phone?
With both eyes.
With both. You know, that's why we have an online website, guys, where we have the articles posted. You can read about past issues if they aren't on the stands. You can look and search them.
Yeah,
if you have a favorite
misconception, only one issue is on stands.
Not true. Multiple issues are on stands.
Hear me out. Only one volume / issue. that type of issue.
That is also a big difference as well. But if
so you have to look them up online.
Let's look them up online.
If you missed one.
But hey, if you have a favorite writer by the name of Amir that you want to just look at more of his work. Or, you know, not to shamelessly self-plug, you can always check his name out because they have a search bar. You know, you can search our names, you can search our articles, you know. But, I mean, that's up to you. That's up to you. That's all up on you.
Right. If you were looking to check out our other social media, well, that's not social media, but our social media entities.
We do have a social media. We have multiple social media entities, Greg.
We have facebook.com/thesanspur.
Or if you just search The Sanspur.
On Facebook,
on the Facebook
you'll find it.
You'll see it.
Right.
Well, there's a green background with the white with light white letters on top. The Sanspur.
Yep. And then we also have the Twitter.
Twitter.
At
tweet me.
Twitter.com/TheSanspur.
Oh my gosh. What will they think of next?
Actually, I think you just say at the Sanspur.
At the Sanspur.
Right.
Snap.
And then we got the Flickr.
We got the Flickr.
Yeah, which on our website, thesanspur.org, we have daily photos that are put up from around campus, different events, different interesting snapshots of our
Pics
campus.
And such, and, you know, just a, you know, if you want something scenic to look at, if you're too busy in class and you're like, I wish I could just look at the flagpole. It's just so majestic in the morning. This is your chance to find pictures of the flagpole looking majestic.
You know what else we got?
What else do we got, Craig?
The YouTube.
We got a... Whoa. A newspaper has a YouTube? What is... Shenanigans?
Yeah. I shenanigans you not.
Oh, what is our YouTube username address thing? What are we? What is the name of
it? I think
it's
The Rollin Sanspur.
The Rollin Sanspur.
The Sanspur was taken.
Well, you know, those Sanspurs
can't win them all.
Can't win them all, but hey, anything to get that name out there. We got the Rollin Sanspur, which, I mean, videos about what is it like to write for the Sanspur.
We have one that's some in-office people. Oh, yeah,
in
you
office.
Saw that.
Yeah, we do.
Yeah.
I did see it. I thought it was very interesting.
Yeah, it was interesting. We also have one that was promoting Campus Media Days,
mm-hmm.
and which was stuff people say about... So stuff people don't say about campus media.
Oh, snap.
WPRK is involved in that one.
Well, hey, you know... If that's the way it's going, it's awfully, we hopefully look for more in the future. Hopefully, more videos.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, we have a video coming out this week about the swim team. The senior swimmers.
Senior swimmers.
Yeah.
Snap.
Yep.
That's very cool.
Breaking text.
Breaking text?
This is from a Rollins alum who works at Florida Gulf Coast University. The bookstore line is out the door. Do you know the significance of this?
The bookstore line?
Yes.
To buy books?
No. They're probably buying some Florida Gulf Coast University memorabilia. Like
oh,
keys
snap. Because the game,
they're in
right?
the big dance.
Oh, the dance.
They're March Madnessing.
March Madness, March Madness.
You know who they beat? Georgetown.
They beat Georgetown.
Yes.
Snap.
They were a 15 seed, beat the 2 seed.
Well, you know what I'm going to say? That is the madness of March, folks.
That is.
Shout out
to Florida Gulf Coast University. They just won their second game, and they'll be playing Florida next.
Nice.
The University of.
Update those brackets, folks.
Yeah.
Better.
Better not bust them.
Don't. Hopefully your brackets have been awesome.
Yeah.
Because this definitely is quite fascinating.
Yep.
So, Greg, as we wind on down,
We're winding down.
What can you know? What can they look forward to next week on next week's show? Maybe some maybe the Florida Film Festival. Maybe some information on that.
Oh yeah, yeah. We'll have a segment or two on that.
And I mean, as always, I mean, we'll always talk about what's going on in Raleigh-Colley campus.
That's the point.
Hey, if Fox Days this week, we will cover it.
Yeah.
Talk about Fox Day shenanigans if.
Yeah.
So, guys, keep your ear to the ground.
If
the season's begun. Hey, March 29th. That is on Friday now, but hey, that's when it was last year, March 29th. So, hey, anything's possible. This is the beginning of the countdown.
The countdown has begun.
The countdown has begun. So, folks, my name is Amir Sadeh.
I'm Greg Golden.
And this is the Sanspare Hour. Thank you guys so much. We will see you next week.
See ya.